So I know it doesn't come as any surprise to any of you that we have a great delegation here in Massachusetts, particularly when it comes to affordable housing. First elected in 2013, Congresswoman Catherine Clark serves the 5th District of Massachusetts, a diverse district that stretches from Revere and Winthrop to Metro West. In Congress, she brings her experience as a state senator, state representative, general counsel for the Massachusetts Office of Child Care Services, and policy chief for the state attorney general to everything that she does. And I know when I was at CHAPA, we had the privilege of working together when she was in the legislature, and it's great to have her down in DC now for us. She serves on the U.S. House Committee on Appropriations as a senior whip in the Democratic Caucus and is a member of the Steering and Policy Committee. She's deeply committed to building coalitions in Congress to give Massachusetts families a fair shot. She was the guest speaker at CHAPA's rally last summer for the first National Housing Week of Action. We need a shorter. And now she's here with us tonight. Please welcome Congresswoman Catherine Clark.
Thank you, Chris, and thank you, Metro Housing Boston, for inviting me here to this beautiful building. And just to walk into this building from the grounds to the moment you get in, just it is everything that we want to be able to serve our communities and say, welcome to this beautiful space. We're going to treat you with the dignity and respect that you deserve. And our spaces say so much about our priorities, and this is just incredible to see this facility and the access to the tea, everything about it. And if you get bored of my speech, you have this beautiful view. So hope to compete with that. Spring has actually come. You know, who knew? So I am incredibly grateful to be here in this room full of dedicated advocates, community leaders, I see lots from my district hiding back there, you all work every day to improve the lives of others. And we are especially proud to be with you as we gather together today at the start of National Low Income Housing Coalition's Week of Action. And I know you will have an acronym soon, because one thing I've learned about housing, you love acronyms. So, you are the difference makers. You are the bold researchers who help us to better understand the significance of affordable housing crisis. Just briefly looking through the information on our chairs, we know the story here in Massachusetts. Growth and demand is rising, and we're at a time of record low supply and new building. You are the direct service providers who guide and support families facing incredible challenges. And it was so wonderful to come in past those rooms where it said interview and know that people can have that space to come and have people understand what they're going through. And you are the housing policy advocates. And as a new person in Congress relatively and new to the housing subcommittee last year, I can't thank you enough for how you helped me put the pieces together, how you continue to link up what's important to families, to our teens, to our seniors, to those with disabilities, our veterans, and their housing needs, and what is the impact of the decisions that we make in Washington on people back at home in our communities and across the country. And every day your work that you do works towards real solutions and opportunities and demanding action. And you understand that housing fundamentally is more than just a shelter. It is the foundation of our communities. I love the author and poet Maya Angelou, and as always, she has something wonderful to say about housing and homes. She wrote, "The ache for home lives in all of us, the safe place where we can go as we are and not be questioned." And all of us understand that need. And for too many of us and the clients that you serve, having a home, having a secure place to live is out of reach. I think, and looking around this room and looking at Libby, you introduced me to a client of yours who, when he first got his own apartment and was really thrilled to have his own key, which was such an important step for him, he disappeared for several days. And nobody could get him, be in contact with him. So finally they went to the door and knocked on it. And he had actually been asleep for days because it was the first time in years that he had that security to actually let himself just fall asleep and rest. Housing is that security, and it's the foundation for a job. It's a foundation for education, and it's the foundation for receiving health care. I have worked with some of you when I was in the state legislature on unaccompanied homeless youth. And it really came from meeting kids at Malden High School. And they tell me, well, I'm a sofa surfer. But what it really meant was there was nobody. There was no place to stay. There was no family for a variety of reasons. They were homeless. And you can't come to school ready to learn if you don't know where you're going to be sleeping that night. Stable housing can change the trajectory of lives, and it can be generational. We had an intern in the state Senate who was putting herself through college, and she was at that time living in a shelter. And we have lots of interns who are trying to put their lives together and facing different challenges. But we'd never had someone who was currently living in a shelter with a toddler. And we were like, wow, we'll do any schedule you want, whatever you can do to help get this for you. There was a small fire in her shelter, and she had to rearrange everything to find a place for her and her toddler to go. And she never came back to our office. We could never find her or contact her again. And that's how slim a reed so many people are hanging on to. If there was a small fire in my kitchen, that would be a big disruption for a few hours, but we'd have the resources to pull it together. It certainly wouldn't be the end of our job. It wouldn't be the end of my children's ability to continue to go to school. But that's what housing does for people, and that's how disruptive the lack of housing can be. You understand all of this. Unfortunately, we have found that this current administration does not. Not only has this administration repeatedly proposed draconian cuts to the very core of federal housing programs, but now they are proposing significant increases in tenant rents. Just last week, HUD proposed a proposal that would triple the minimum rent that poorest Americans pay for subsidized housing. It would change the way rent is calculated from 30% of adjusted income to 35% of gross income. And we know that working families, the elderly, the disabled, will all be forced to divert money they need to meet their basic needs in order to cover this rent. And it's going to have a real impact and potentially a devastating one. I'd like to tell you about my constituent in Cambridge named Carol. Carol is 76 years old. She has a gross income from Social Security, which is her source of income, of about $18,000 a year. Under HUD's proposal, Carol's annual rent would increase by over $3,100. I don't understand how taking nearly 20% more of Carol's entire gross income is going to help her pay her bills, afford food and transportation, or plan for any kind of future for herself. And we all have to think about these impacts and how do we create the policies that are going to help financial sustainability and support our social safety net, not erode them. The good news, and we so rarely have good news from Washington, that I do want to share some good news, is that thanks to this community's advocacy, Congress has rejected many of these short-sighted proposals. The FY18 Omnibus Appropriations Bill, although it was 6 months late, and I know my friends here from the State House know that they would never get away with that, went in the completely opposite direction of the proposals from the administration. And it passed with broad bipartisan support this March. For the first time in years, we've made significant federal investments in housing, including a 10% increase to the Housing Choice Voucher Program. We restored and even exceeded previous funding levels for CDBG and home and public housing. The omnibus even included funding for new construction of affordable housing for the elderly and people with disabilities. And a program I'm particularly proud of was $50 million in new funds to help keep victims of domestic violence out of homelessness. These are the type of programs that can help save our citizens from homelessness and enable families, veterans, seniors to put their lives back together. And they work. A friend of mine from Malden and a constituent, Deb, was in a car accident. And her health insurance did not cover the bills. And as a result, she lost everything and ended up living in the car that was involved in the accident. Subsidized housing is what came and helped her put her life back together. She was eventually able to re-enter the workforce, and it changed the trajectory back to something positive for her life. That is the function of these services. A helping hand when the unthinkable happens or when a job disappears. So many things tip the scales for the vulnerable people that you all work with. To provide the foundation of housing allows people to have a foundation for a new life. And I want to applaud the achievements that have been happening here in the Commonwealth. Many of which, all of which, would not be possible without the creativity, the passion, the expertise that all of you bring. The RAFT program is helping people, just like my friend Deb, keep their homes by providing rent and utility payment assistance. RAFT helps bridge that gap, and as was noted in Metro Boston's 2017 report, it will also likely save the Commonwealth $31 million. That is investment that makes sense. It's good for people, and it's good for the bottom line. For the first time, the RAFT program is going to include individuals and not just families, and this is a wonderful step forward. And this pilot exists because of Metro Boston and so many of the dedicated organizations that are represented here tonight. We must celebrate these victories and learn from their success and hopefully be able to replicate them nationally. Like so many areas, whether it's healthcare or biotech, Massachusetts leads the way. And every day that I pull open that door to the House of Representatives, I am so proud and I feel so privileged to get to represent my communities and the work that all of you do. But the reality, as we know, is there is much left to be done. I met another constituent who had lost her daughter to a battle of cancer. And unfortunately, she was now caring for her granddaughter, her daughter's little girl. But the medical bills, she also fell behind on her mortgage and just couldn't recover. So both the grandmother and the granddaughter ended up in a shelter. And we can do better. We know that we can establish programs that could have helped and avoided this situation. And from healthcare to housing, we need these stories to be told, to bring the stories of your clients, your experiences, and how these programs intersect, where they're doing well, where we need to do better, and bring those to Washington. It's your stories that really make the policies, that make a budget item come to life for people, and it's your clients they'll remember when they are voting. Together, I know that we can revolutionize the way we approach housing. We can focus on preventative policies, and we can ensure that everyone not only has a house, but has the ability to have a home. I look forward to following your lead. I hope you will consider me a partner in all of this. And I just can't tell everyone here how grateful I am for your expertise, for your willingness to share it, and for the work that you do. You make our communities and the Commonwealth such a better place to be with the clients that you help and the work that you do. And you don't get a lot of public accolades for it, but I can tell you the difference it makes to the people that I serve, and I can tell you the difference it makes to me. So thank you so much for having me, and thank you for your work.